Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and Beyond. Every weekday around 10 a.m. Brought to you by the attorneys of Thomas White & Gill. Find them online at memphisfamilylaw.com.
Chris, what is it that we're listening to?
That is Hotel Yorba by the White Stripes, recorded at Easily McCain Studio here in Memphis, Easily McCain Recording, Once Upon a Time. The drummer there, Meg White, born on this day in 1974.
So Ja Morant came back. He's good.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
really good.
He helps you win, and he makes your games more watchable. So you got both of those things going for you.
What did you take from last night's victory over the Golden State Warriors, besides John's good?
Revenge game. It was good to, like, after you – the only game all season they lost that they were supposed to win. In fact, the only game all season I think they were supposed to win was at home against Golden State, which they lost. So it's nice to go in their building and sort of even that up. Main takeaways last night, Ja Morant back, looked none the worse for wear, looked great. A highlight reel once again. They got 32 points from the scoring guard spot. Dylan Brooks and Grayson Allen combined. That's a pretty good recipe for the Grizzlies. And then I think it was interesting how they worked D'Anthony Melton in different spots throughout the game.
Grayson Allen twisted an ankle again.
Right. Different ankle.
Different ankle. The other ankle. He's making shots. I guess it's funny. Why shouldn't he make shots? He made shots at Duke.
There's no reason he shouldn't make shots. He has good form, but that's just not. It's not a guarantee. And so that is the swing. That's the swing skill for him. That is the skill that determines whether he's a long-term NBA career or not. Is whether he's a meaningful three-point shooter. Right. I believe. And so that will determine it. He was not last season as a rookie. He was not, you know, early this season. He has been the last week or so. I have no idea where that will settle, but I think wherever that settles, that will determine how meaningful he is as an NBA player.
All right. Onward to other topics. You posted your Andre Iguodala trade update, and not update, it is an extensive analysis. People should read it by all means at the Daily Memphian. I have tweeted it out, and there's roughly 82 teams that were mentioned in connection with this, and so I don't – some very remote possibilities. So I'll just focus on a couple. And the first thing is – and this is the – you said it's a known unknown, and this is the biggest thing – is we talk about trading him to wherever, Denver, with no sense as to whether he has said, listen, if you go to Denver, I'm just not going to report or whatever. Maybe he just wants to go to L.A. and therefore is making it very difficult – on the Grizzlies. And that is sort of the key factor at the threshold here, isn't it?
Yeah, no. I mean, if you talk to people with the Grizzlies to the degree they will talk about it at all, which is not much, they'll say that, look, you know, we'll make whatever the best deal is there for us to make. But my question is not the Grizzlies, it's the other teams. Are other teams willing to make offers if they don't think Iguodala will be happy to be there, right? And, right. and that to me is the unknown. It's not the Grizzlies' willingness to make a deal. It's Team X that's not at the top of Andre Iguodala's, you know, most desirable list. Are they willing to give up assets to get a player who is, you know, known to be a little cranky, right?
Right. And so yes, the Grizzlies will make the best deal they can make. But the best deal they can make will be shaped by the perception of whether the other teams. It won't be with Denver if Denver knows he's not showing up or is going to show up and be a jerk or something. So
it'll be pouty, right?
Yeah, pouty.
I don't know if a playoff team trades for him, I have a hard time seeing him refuse to show up.
Right.
But are you getting a happy Iguodala? Are you getting the best Iguodala? Are you getting the Iguodala that is worth what you're giving up to get him? I think that's more the question.
All right. I don't want to go through all of them, but let's pretend, just to hit some of the highlights, let's pretend he just wants to go to L.A. Is there any meaningful possibility with either of the LA teams?
Yeah. I think you can do it with the Clippers potentially. I don't see, like, in theory, like, as a matter of legality, you could make a deal with the Lakers, but I'm really skeptical of a deal getting done there that's worth doing. That's honestly any more worth doing than just buying them out.
Right.
Which is, I think, what the Lakers are hoping for anyway. With the Clippers, you could make a deal. If both sides wanted to make a deal, they could make a deal. The question would be, the deal would have to be for Maurice Harkless from a salary standpoint. He would have to be in the deal, and he's currently a starter for the Clippers. So would the Clippers rather have Andre Iguodala than Mo Harkless? That's the first question they got to ask. And then you have to throw in more money to make it work. That's almost certainly going to be Jerome Robinson, who was a late lottery pick for them a year ago and has done nothing in the NBA. And so are the Clippers willing to even do that, Mo Harkless and Jerome Robinson? And if they are the Grizzlies willing to do that? Do they care about Jerome Robinson? Do they think he's any good? And if not, they would want more assets with it. Are the Clippers willing to give up more assets? And so I think there's a negotiation there that may or may not work out, but at least there's a deal that you can do.
The deal that the team that you thought was most likely, maybe, or there's actually been reports of discussions or rumors
I did. This is a lesson in how rumors start.
Right.
So I wrote most sensible. That's the way I characterize it. And then today on my Twitter feed, someone from Dallas retweeted it and said, Harrington says Dallas is most likely, which is not, does not mean the same thing as most sensible. But that's
right.
How rumors start.
That's hilarious. So, okay, most sensible Dallas. Why? And what would that deal look like?
It is an easy deal to do that to me helps both sides. Dallas is now, I think, as when I wrote it, I haven't looked at the updated standings today, but when I wrote it, they were third in the West, so they are a real contender now. They have a ball-dominant MVP-level player in Luka Doncic. They need role players around him. They are currently starting Dorian Finney-Smith at small forward, who's a nice little player, but he is not Andre Iguodala. And so that's a team that's ready to win now, and Iguodala would clearly upgrade them in the playoffs at a starting position. And they have a deal they can make. They have Courtney Lee's expiring contract. Courtney Lee's not really going to help you much as a player at this point, but, like, you know, Memphis likes him. He's expiring contract, good locker room veteran, whatever. And they can't give you a first-round pick, and they probably wouldn't even if they could, but they do have the rights to Golden State's second-round pick this summer, which will be in the 30s, which is a good second-round pick. And so you could do easily just Courtney Lee and then the second-round pick for Iguodala. The Grizzlies would get a good second-round pick to add to the first-round pick they already have for getting Iguodala to begin with, and they would save actual money, like meaningful money, probably about $2 million in real money. And that's not, you know, that's not the visions of sugar plums people had about trading Andre Iguodala, but to me it would be a totally rational and reasonable thing to do.
Remind people what they have already gotten for Andre Iguodala, in essence. What was the deal that brought him here?
The Golden State Warriors gave them I'm going to pull it up real quick. They gave them a future first-round pick in order to take Iguodala's contract, and that pick is lightly protected. As I pull it up as we speak, that pick is where's it at? That pick is – it's a first-round pick. It's protected. It's not eligible to get until 2024, so it's down the line. But it's only protected picks 1 through 4 in 2024. It's protected only number 1 overall in 2025, and it's unprotected in 2026. So, like, maybe Golden State, because they have all the money in the world, they're just still really good, and it's a pick in the 20s. But that's a very lightly protected pick way out in the future. That's a really good asset.
Can you imagine a scenario where that's a really good pick? Like, what would 2024? This is 29.
Look up right now.
Yeah. Well, right now, yes. I mean, they got neither Steph nor Clay.
But I'm saying there's no guarantee. Just because you're, right. You know, a huge market, like New York's a huge market. Like, who knows what's going to – no one has any idea what going to be in 2024.
Yeah, that's 5 years from now. That's a very good asset. It could be yeah, is it okay, so you already got that. Keep that in mind, people, if you think that a second from Dallas this year through the Warriors is not what you had in mind. You already have this future first, and now you would be adding a very high second in this year's draft.
And I had someone else from Dallas on my social media saying, you know, maybe Iguodala's an upgrade on Dorian Finney-Smith, but he's not worth that Golden State pick, right? It's like number 35 pick in a bad draft or a mediocre draft.
Right.
And fans from the other team would think that's too much.
Too much, right, exactly right. That's how you know it's probably a decent trade. If fans from both sides are saying it's not sufficient. By the way, speaking of future draft picks, while we're on the topic, you've tweeted out something very interesting about Utah.
Yeah.
What's the pick? What do the Grizzlies have from Utah coming?
Well, the Grizzlies have a first round pick from the Conley deal, and that pick is protected. It's got a weird reverse two-way protection on it, so it's protected both 1 through 7 to protect Utah and 15 through 30 to protect Memphis, both this summer and next summer, and then it becomes more lightly protected in 2022. And everyone, when they made that deal, thought, okay, well, this pick won't be in play until 2022 anyway, because we're going to be a playoff team. And Utah right now, I'm trying to pull up the standings, they lost last night at home against the Thunder. They're still probably going to make the playoffs, but right now they're in sixth place in the West, and they're only 2.5 games up on the team that's ninth. And so if Utah missed the playoffs and, you know, did not get lucky and jump up into the top four, like if they had the 14th pick or the 13th pick or whatever, right, like if that happened, the Grizzlies would get that pick.
They might be in
danger. That's probably not going to happen, but it's at least within the realm of conversation now.
They might be in danger of missing the playoffs if this were last year or the year before or the year when the back side of the West was
good.
The problem is,
you have two teams under 500 at 7 and 8. Yeah.
But still, fun to think about. Fun to think about the future with this team, honestly, and this franchise. Okay, and then lastly, some bad news on the Josh Jackson front. Yesterday, he did not play because he missed a team meeting. The team released that he did not play because he missed a team meeting. This brought two different reactions. Oh, I can't believe the guy can't get his act together. All he had to do was get his act together and prove that he was ready to come back to the NBA. This is why the Grizzlies, they had to do what they're doing with him. The other reaction was, I can't believe the Grizzlies have had him wasting away down there either. I'd miss team meetings too. But this is miserable, and the Grizzlies did this to themselves. I don't really understand, and let's be honest, it's our friend Anthony Sain, who I mostly am quoting here, subtweeting, because he's a big Josh Jackson guy and thinks the Grizzlies have mishandled it. But I don't know how you could look at yesterday as anything other than like Josh Jackson being Josh Jackson in not a good way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we know. At least I don't know enough of the details. It's certainly not good for him. I asked someone yesterday, because the Hustle play again tomorrow, like in South Haven. So I asked someone yesterday, like, is this just a one-game thing? Is this going to impact him beyond the one game? And I got a non-committal answer. If it was just missed a team meeting and there's nothing other than that, I would assume it's a one-game thing and he'll be back on the floor tomorrow night. But if he's not back on the floor tomorrow night, I think then it becomes a more concerning situation. As of right now, I'm willing to say, okay, it's a hiccup along the road and like maybe it'll be fine. But we'll see.
People can oversleep or whatever. Probably caught behind a train. Probably caught behind a train is what I'm going to just go.
Well, he was in California. If he was in Memphis, that would absolutely be the excuse he should use.
He should use. I was behind a train. All right, Chris, thanks very much. I urge people to read his piece at the Daily Memphian. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. That is Chris Harrington.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.